So please turn in your Bibles again to the passage that we read earlier, Luke chapter 8, and we're going to be looking at that passage now. Now, my wife knows that I love good home cooking, and I don't settle for anything less. So she really likes it when we have to travel on the motorway and we can drop in for a McDonald's. And every time I'm a bit boring, I order the same thing in McDonald's. McChicken sandwich. And a McChicken sandwich is just what it says in the tin. It is a sandwich. It's a piece of meat between two slices of bread. Now, this story about the Lord Jesus Christ is a bit of a sandwich story. Did you notice that? It's got sort of one story sandwiched in between another story. And we might say, well, why is that? Why does Luke tell us the story that way, like a sandwich? And what does he want us to get in this story by reporting it this way? Well, I want to leave three things with you this evening that teach us something about this story and why Luke has written it this way. I want us to think, first of all, about the testimony of faith. And then I want us to think about the testing of faith. And then I want us to think about the triumph of faith. So first of all, let's look at the testimony of faith. See the testimony of faith, verse 40 to 48. Now, when the queen goes on tour, she doesn't do it so much nowadays, but when she did, there was always crowds to welcome her, wasn't there? And so when Jesus jumps off the boat after his journey across the lake, there are crowds to meet him, aren't there? But almost as soon as his feet get wet, there's a 999 call for Jesus. Please go to the house of Jairus, the call says. He's a synagogue ruler. His daughter's very sick and she's almost dead. It really is a 999 call. And here he is, Jairus. He's a religious man. He's a powerful man. And we might think somebody like that wouldn't need anything. He had life all sorted. But in this situation, when God touches his life, he finds himself absolutely helpless, doesn't he? And he is cast on Jesus. He can turn to nobody else. You know, if we've to come to Jesus, we must come the same way that Jairus came, with a real sense of our need. Not coming with other options, but coming because we know that only Christ can help us. We are so needy, we are so weak, we are so helpless. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can help us. We must come to him like that, or we don't come to him at all. Now, if you go to a Premier League football match or a large concert, there's usually very good crowd control, isn't there? There's guys in yellow jackets and they're directing the crowd so that there aren't any accidents or any serious trouble. Because the organisers know that if the crowd gets out of control, if there's a problem with the crowd, then people can lose their lives. And so here's Jesus, as he often is, right there in the thick of the crowd, being jostled along. He's been crushed by all sides. He's hardly got room to move. And then Luke tells us in verse 43 that a woman was there in that crowd. We don't even know her name, but we know that she too was somebody in need. She was somebody with great need. You know, there must have been many women in that crowd. But this woman didn't want to be noticed. If people knew about her condition, about her illness, there might have been a riot. You think about the reaction that people had if there was any hint that somebody in the crowd had COVID-19, especially maybe a year or two ago. You know, there'd be outrage. People were jumping out of the road to get away from you. And so it was with this woman. She shouldn't have been there touching people. She was unclean. She was an untouchable. She'd been losing blood for 12 years. So perhaps in a crowd she felt safe. She knew she wouldn't be caught in CCTV. People's attention would be elsewhere. And this poor lady, she'd been to Dr. Judah. She'd been to Dr. Levi. She'd been to Dr. Daniel. And not one of them could help her. She'd gone private. Her bank account was empty. She was in the red. And she knew that she needed Jesus. He was her last and her only hope. And so, look how she comes up with this great plan. If only I can get close enough to touch him. I can just touch him and then slink away unnoticed. No one will ever know what Jesus did for me. Well, will she put her plan into action? Will she be brave enough or desperate enough? Will she trust Jesus? Will she risk everything to come and touch him? And the answer is yes, she will. And see how Luke makes clear in verse 44. Not only was she healed, says Luke, but she was healed immediately. Did you notice that? It's an important word. She was healed like that. She'd been ill for 12 years. Nobody could help her. And in a flash, she's healed. Now, Jesus knows the touch of faith, doesn't he? From the jostling of the crowd. He could feel the power going out from him. And he wants to identify this one faithful person. And so he cries out, "Who touched me? Who was it?" He looks around. You know, he's getting crowded and crushed. But he says, "Who touched me?" Isn't it amazing how the crowd deny touching him? Did you notice that? They all denied it. There must have been loads of them touching him. But when he says, "Who touched me?" It was, "Not me." And isn't that why Peter is puzzled? How could Jesus identify just one touch in all that crowd? And so now this lady is starting to sweat. She feels a bit like a naughty child. Have you ever felt like that? The naughty child. Oh, I'm in trouble now. And she fears condemnation. A few years ago in the church, I thought it was a great idea. I said to the elders, when we pray for people at the elders' meeting, let's write a card afterwards and say we've been praying for them to encourage them. They'll really be encouraged to know that the elders have been praying for them. And so we did that for a few weeks, and then I started to get feedback, and people were saying, "Oh, I've got a card from the elders. Why are the elders praying for me? What have I done?" It backfired. So we ended that. And often people can feel like that, can't they? You know, when a question is asked, a concern is shown, we feel condemnation. We feel like the naughty child. Well, maybe we shouldn't be too hard on this woman. Who knows? Maybe she's lived with biting criticism for years. Maybe she's been shunned. Maybe she's been made to feel so low and so guilty about her condition. So that when she's outed, she's terrified. She's shaking like a leaf. And she just wants to slink away. But there's no way out. There's no escape. The spotlight now is shining on her. And yet, what a great opportunity to tell what Jesus has done. And isn't Jesus delighted at her testimony? Is there any criticism from Jesus? Did you notice any condemnation from Jesus? Isn't there only praise and reassurance and comfort for this dear lady? Daughter, verse 48, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. What wonderful words for that woman to hear. Go in peace. And look here how Jesus deals not only with illness, but with fear. With the fear of rejection. With the fear of condemnation. Go in peace, he says. Go in peace. See, when we come to the Lord Jesus and confess his name, though we may be burdened by a dark past and a heavy load, he sends us away in peace. His word to us is the same as to the woman. Go in peace. You know, maybe you think, if I come to Jesus, how will he react? Will he look at me in my filth and condemn me? Or will he look at me and cleanse me? Thank God this woman came forward. That she overcame her fears to testify to what Jesus had done. Listen to her testimony this evening and let it reassure you about the Lord Jesus Christ and the gentle Saviour that he is. So here we have very clearly, don't we, the testimony of faith. And then verse 49 to 50, we have the testing of faith. You know, when I take the children to school, it takes about 15 minutes on a good day. And yet often, it just seems like a rush. And I always feel that there's so many people out to conspire against me, to make me late when I'm in a hurry. Do you ever feel like that? Those cyclists who weave in and out of parked cars and you can't overtake them. Drivers who don't like to get out of third gear. Pedestrians who wait until you almost reach the zebra crossing and then they jump out onto the road. There are some people who just hold us up and hold us back when we're in a hurry, aren't there? And so what is Jairus thinking when Jesus stops to deal with this woman in an emergency? You can see him shifting in his feet, can't you? Looking at his watch, the sweat running down on his brow. He's pacing back and forward. When is Jesus going to finish his sermon? My daughter's drawing her last breath. Doesn't he know this is a 999 call? The man is desperate. You know, when we're in a crisis or a panic, often we ask ourselves, do we really care about the needs of others? And then the worst news comes. What he's been dreading all along. Your daughter's dead. Don't bother the teacher. Why does Jesus let this little girl die? Why does he take a route where he will be held up and interrupted? He healed others with a word. He cured others at a distance. Why does he put this dad through that agony? You know, when we're in need, we can look at others, can't we? And we can say, well, they had it easy. Why was I put to the test? Why did Jesus take the long route to help me and put me through all that? Well, don't we need to learn that it's up to Jesus to decide how he works and what he'll do with us? Some people are saved one way, some people are saved another way. Some are saved quickly, others go through much pain in the great purposes of God. But the same Jesus is there for all who call on him, in whatever circumstances we're in. Jairus heard the very news that he dreaded, your daughter has died. And yet what does Jesus say? Does he say, oh, I'm sorry, Jairus, I should have run a bit faster? You know what the crowds are like. No, Jesus says, doesn't he? He says, don't be afraid. Just believe and she'll be saved. Now, how does Jairus know that? How does he know that when all seems lost, that it's still worth trusting Jesus? When you hear those words, your daughter is dead, how can you trust Jesus then? Well, how kind of Jesus, who took time out of a 999 call to stop and heal a sick woman. For isn't there somebody here right in front of Jairus who is evidence, who is living testimony to what Jesus can do? Here is a testimony of this woman to reassure Jesus, reassure Jairus, that Jesus will not fail. You know, are you thinking, can Jesus help me? Can he turn my life around? Can he come to save me and my circumstances? You know, if Jesus can't help you 1 second after your funeral, then he's not much help to you before it. For Jesus isn't just someone who heals the sick. Jesus is somebody who raises the dead, isn't he? He's the one who can truly help desperate and needy people, no matter how extreme our circumstances are. Do you feel desperate? Do you feel needy? Would you come to him this evening and cast yourself upon him? And entrust yourself to him. Even if you can't understand everything that is going on. For those are the people he delights to help. The people who come to him in their extremity and in their need. So will you come to him in all your need and receive the power that he gives to those who humble themselves before him? Yes, we have the testimony of faith, but also we have the testing of faith in this story. But then, thank God, finally in verse 51 to 56, we have the triumph of faith. When Jesus arrives at the house, you'll notice only the select few are allowed in. Note how the skeptics are left at the door. They've written Jesus off. They've laughed at his words. But Jesus doesn't need their praise or approval, does he? He goes into the room, he grasps a child's hand, and he utters these words, "Child." Very tender, isn't it? "Child, get up." What happens? Her spirit returns, Luke tells us, and notice, again there's that word, immediately she stands up. Just as the woman was healed immediately, so this girl revives immediately. We can hardly imagine it, can we? No sighing, no stretching, no slow recovery, take your time. It's up. She's been pronounced dead, but then she's up. And not only that, what else is she doing? She's eating. Now, when did you last get up from a serious illness and tuck into a big meal? Isn't it a wonderful ending? By the end of the story, aren't we left a bit puzzled? Because Jesus says to the parents, doesn't he, "Don't tell anybody. Don't say what happened. Don't go into all the details." Now, if you were the parents and this happened to your child, wouldn't you be just busting to tell people? You'd be sharing the photos on Facebook. You'd be on the phone. You'd be speaking to the local radio. And many have wondered why Jesus said to the parents, "Don't tell." But here we see the unbelievers shut out of what Jesus is doing, don't we? Only those who believe will see his glory. And if we want to see Jesus and his glory, what must we do? Well, we must take his word seriously, mustn't we? And believe him and trust him. And note how those who scoff and reject his word, what happens to them? They are shut out. Jesus says, "You stay that side of the door. You're not coming in. You've no faith." Perhaps this is an indication of what happens at the end of time when those who reject Christ and laugh at him and scoff at him are shut out. But perhaps also this isn't the time to tell everyone. Perhaps this is only a part of the story. Perhaps the ending will be even better than this bit of news. We can hardly imagine a better ending than this, can we? Than a little girl who was dead rising up. But later on in Luke's gospel, we are faced with someone else who rises up, aren't we? Who rises up after suffering and dying on a cross. And it's at this point, at the point of his own resurrection, that Jesus says to people, "Now you go and you tell, and you are my witnesses." The time to be silent about Jesus is over. Now is the time to tell everybody, isn't it? And that's why we are here this evening, to proclaim the good news that Jesus has died for sinners. He has died for needy people. And he's risen from the grave to give us life, eternal life. And he can give you life and change your life if you will but face up to your need and come to him in your need and trust in him to save you. I wonder, will you, like Jairus and like this dear unnamed lady, will you come to him today? Well, we're going to sing of his glorious resurrection from the dead. Number 200.
and 81, thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son, endless is the victory. Thou, O death, hast won.